Mary has heard the miraculous story of what God is doing in her life. more than a wife. You see, this was a very public event. The husband who invested in Zechariah was a priest. And while he was serving the temple, the angel Gabriel visited Zechariah. And he was told that his wife was there. Zechariah didn't believe the angel. And as a result, Gabriel made him mute. He came out of the temple after an extended period in the temple and was unable to speak to the child, but was able to communicate without words to them to escape a vision. The news of this was spread far and wide in 6 months leading up to Mary's encounter with the angel. It is likely that Mary heard of these things. God was doing something amazing in Israel. He was raising up a prophet who was prepared to pray. Before the angel came to Mary, he did not know that she would be part of God's plan for Israel and the world. He did not know that she would play the most important role in God's plan. See, Mary was a nobody. She was just some young girl living in a pure little village that no one thought any good could come from. But she was not a nobody in God's eyes. God saw her love and devotion to him, and knew that with his help, he could handle the responsibilities that he placed upon him. He looked for a willing heart, and he found one in Mary. Now, Mary's story is a reminder that God can use anyone who's willing to be a servant. Your age, your social status, your education, your wealth, doesn't matter one bit. God has a plan for your life. Our limitations do not limit God. In fact, God loves your human limitations. Because he is the glory. We become witnesses to him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, the Bible says that we have this treasure, the treasure being the gospel, in earthen vessels, that the excellence of its power is via God and not of us. God gives all the glory for what he does in our lives. You know, we're all invited to take part in God's big plan for the salvation of the world. No place is one of us. If we will make his will our priority, then he will use us for his glory. When Gabriel visited Mary in Nazareth, he came to initiate the most important part of God's plan to save the world. Nazareth was to become the staging ground for God's salvation of the whole world. God was going to be born as a human in the small backwater town of Nazareth to a young, unknown, poor, inexperienced girl that nobody knew the terms. And it's kind of hard for us to wrap our minds around God's plan. It certainly goes against what you or I would do if we were planning something like this. Let us read on Luke chapter 1, verse 28 to 29. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Mary was greatly privileged to be part of God's plan. She did not deserve this because of any merit of her own. She was not immaculate. She was not perfect. But God was lavishing grace upon her. Can you imagine a young girl pregnant with God? It is impossible to think. Words are inadequate to express how unworthy any human being would be for this role. None of us deserve to be part of God's plan. God's call always flows from the grace of his word. First Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 says that, you know, God saved us and he called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. So he has called us to a holy calling, not because of anything we've done. Now, God's calling of Mary to be the mother of the Messiah seems so wonderful and angelic. But it wasn't like that. In fact, it was challenging. Luke chapter 1, verse 29 to 30. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting it was. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." So the angel comforted Mary because the situation was overwhelming, unsettling. The angel's presence was awe-inspiring and overwhelming. The thought that she was to be the mother of the Messiah must have been overwhelming. But it must have also been overwhelming for her to become pregnant before she was there. Jesus was scandalous, and she had to bear the shame. What would her soon-to-be husband say and do? What would the community say? What would they do? For the rest of her life, people voiced rumors about the illegitimacy of her pregnancy. It is recorded in the Gospel that they accused Jesus of being born in sin. John chapter 8, verse 41. Jesus has a conversation there with the people in Jerusalem. Tell them that you be the seed of the Father. Satan, of course. And they said to him, "We were not born of fornication." Speaking about Jesus being born of illegitimacy, which he was not. We have one Father, God. They were putting them down and treating them like trash. Fortunately, God made Joseph aware of what was going on so that he didn't divorce Mary. This is about that in chapter 1, verse 20 and verse 8. It says, "But while he thought about these things, the golden angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and he will call his name Jesus, and he will save people from their sins.' But Joseph also had to bear his wife's shame together with her. And God did not remove the shame from either of them." This is a heavy burden, no doubt, for a young girl to bear, especially when it was too soon. She must bear the honor as well as the shame of serving God. She must bear the joy as well as the pain of being caught part of God's plan. She must bear the trial as well as the Mother. Mary was reminded of this when she took the baby to the temple to be circumcised and dedicated. Simeon spoke to her. And this is what he said in Luke chapter 2, verse 34 and 35. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many of Israel, and for a sign with me spoken against you. Yet the sword will pierce through your own soul also, and the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Simeon told Mary that the sword would pierce her soul because of the womb. The word of Simeon, of course, is fulfilled on the day that she watched her son crucified to a cross. His death broke her heart, and she was unable to do anything for him. See, God's ways are not always easy. When we follow Him, there are difficulties and disappointments, acceptance and rejection, joy and sorrow, honor and dishonor, pleasure and pain. As a servant of God, she experienced many apparent setbacks, but God triumphed through. But you know, her pregnancy was no doubt also a wonderful time. Wonderful because she was part of God's plan, and I think this brought her close to God. Mary held close to her heart the promises God made to the angel to her, and rejoiced in the role she was playing in God's plan. And God I encouraged her along the way. Mary made a trip to Elizabeth, the wife of that high priest, one of her relatives. But she stayed for 3 months until Elizabeth gave birth to John the Baptist. So she arrived, the baby was in Elizabeth's womb, left in the womb of the presence of Mary and the unborn Jesus. We read about this in Luke chapter 1, verse 42 to 44. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among the women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. The wife has granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me. For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy." Lift that word for a huge encouragement because it confirmed what the angel had told her in private. Mary rejoiced in the Lord after this encouragement. Luke chapter 1, verse 46 begins. She said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly estate of his maidservant. And behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. And he is mighty and has great things, and full of his name." Now, this wasn't the only encouragement that she received through her relatives. You see, the Lord knows how to encourage us. Around the time that Mary's 3 months stay with us, John the Baptist was born, and 8 days later, Zechariah prophesied about Jesus and John the Baptist. And we read about these words because I think they were a great encouragement to Mary. And if you're there to hear it, we'll hear about it later on. Here in chapter 1, verse 67, it says, "Now his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke to them now that is fully promised, who have been since the world began." And he was on his way. But these words about her performance mission must have been a great encouragement to her soul. Simeon reminded the people that God was fulfilling his promises to the Holy Prophet. You know, God knows how to encourage us on the way, especially through the scriptures, which foretell God's plan for us and the experiences that we must go through. The scriptures reminded Mary that she could have confidence that God is in control. Now, Mary's next experience confirmed that God is in control. In Luke chapter 2, verse 2, "It came to pass in those days that a decree went from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went out to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was in the house and lineage of David. To be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were continued for her to be delivered." So God led Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem. On the surface, the mandate for them to return to Bethlehem seemed like an ordinary human affair. There was nothing extraordinary about it on the surface. But if you know God's will and outline of His word, you would know that this ordinary trip was no ordinary trip because it was foreordained by God. According to the prophet Micah, the child will come from Bethlehem. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. "But you, Bethlehem, the prophet, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, who going forth is from old, from everlasting." So the scriptures foretold that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, the city of David. And this would be a testimony to this Davidic lineage. The trip to Bethlehem was foreordained by God. He was fulfilling His word. But that didn't make the journey easy. It was a long and hard trip that definitely not convenient or comfortable for her to make this trip. And to make things worse, when they got to Bethlehem, there was no place to stay, and so they had to stay in Egypt. This reminds us that God's ways are not always smooth and easy. Just because you're going to hell doesn't mean that you are not fulfilling God's will. When they arrived in Bethlehem, it didn't seem like they were meant to be there. There was no rose-studded carpet to welcome them. No fanfare, no place to call their own. But in the soul, there was no room for them. You know, God could have reserved a room for them, couldn't he? God could have arranged for an amazing place for Mary to go to. But God didn't make the circumstances welcome. They were left to make do with their manner. Not the place that you would expect a baby to be born in. Not the place that you would plan to come. I imagine that this was another disappointment and hardship for Mary. But this too was as it should be. The manger where they stayed, where they worked, to witness to the character of Christ's humble and spiritual rule. But it must have been a great encouragement to Mary when the shepherds showed up calling them at the angel that they had met and told her the birth of his son. This lightened their burden. This more than made up for the hard circumstances of their lives. The glory of God's word brightened the darkness. And so Mary and Joseph made their home in Bethlehem. They had to start all over again because this was not the place for them. You know, it's tough to start from scratch for any of you who are being transparent, especially when you're poor and you don't know people. But God sent them another encouragement. Wise men came from the east with expensive gifts for Jesus and his family. We read about this in Matthew chapter 2. Verse 10, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they opened their treasure, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed to their own country and never God sent these wise men, Bethlehem, to herald his birth to the rulers of Israel and the world. These lavish gifts, they were fitting for a king. But God had another more practical purpose in bringing these wise men. God was attentive to the physical needs of Mary and Joseph. God knew the financial needs. He knew what was about to happen to Mary and her little family. They would be forced to flee to Egypt to avoid Herod's death. And they would need resources to provide a foreign country for years. God knew their needs ahead of time and provided for them. And the Lord gave Joseph a dream, telling him to take his family and escape to Egypt because Herod wanted to kill the children in order to kill the upcoming king. You read about that in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13 to 15. And when they had departed, the old angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." God's timing is perfect. Right after the wise men had needed the resources for the trip and departed, the angel showed up and told them to leave. Everything was perfectly fine. They fled. This was another hard journey, but they were used to hard work. Now they had a baby to take care of on the trip, and they were born to a foreign country. They were after returning to Israel's first enemy, the Egyptians. Israel's history was a comfort, of course, to them, because God had provided Egypt in the past. He would do the same for them all. When Herod died, the angel appeared again to them Egypt and suffered to return home. They thought about returning to Judea, not because of his great destiny to be the lion in the tribe of Judah. But God spoke to Joseph in a dream and told him not to settle in Judea, but to return to Nazareth where the story started. God led them back to Canaan. They would have to wait for God's promise to be manifested. You see, human beings like to see their destiny. We want to see things happen. We like to arrive at our destination sooner rather than later. But God's way takes time to unfold. We must often wait. But God's plan is no delay and no delay. So we need to learn to surrender all those things. Now, what lessons can we learn from Mary's story that can help us trust God's care and function? We've already drawn some lessons, but I want to end this talk with just four lessons. Lesson number one: God's plan for our life includes challenges. Did you hear that? God's plan for your life and for my life includes many challenges. It's part of the plan. You see, our trials have a purpose. We read about this purpose in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7, and onward, where Paul says, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as your son. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? You see, God raises his children to challenge us. It is part of his rearing, it is part of what it takes for him to make us into what we are. Jesus became what he became to challenge us. Jesus went to a path of difficulty. We read about this in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. Although he was a son, he learned obedience to what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who are born. Being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. So for him to fulfill the God's plan for him to be the Savior and the High Priest of the world, he has to go through suffering. If you are facing challenges, know that God is developing you to be challenged. This is part of our preparation for heaven. That we may be to the praise and honor of Jesus. In 1 Peter chapter 1, we read that our faith is tested. Being more precious than gold and purity, that it may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let me just share with you something I learned from him. I mean, when I was in school, God taught me through suffering, and went through a long struggle with not feeling very well, feeling sick. And through that, I had to wait upon God, wait upon him. And God taught me through that time. God's plan for us includes suffering. They are not apart from the plan. They are part of the plan. Lesson number two: God does not take away talents, but he takes us through them. He reveals himself through them as we seek himself. Just a short story from my own experience that I've told you before. You know, we were living in Norway. We purchased a house. And when the company was going to move us to another district, we discovered a bigger problem in the wall. There was a rooster in the wall. And we had to somehow fix that in order to sell it, otherwise, we'd have to cost it. It was a party for that. We were greatly appreciated. And so we had to investigate, and the inspector told us that even if it doesn't do nice things, I'm sure it's something. It was really the best. Here it is that God is moving us. Here it is that God is leading us to a new place. And we have this major obstacle. You know, this could cost thousands of dollars. How are we going to do this? See, God didn't, he could have easily had us avoid this crisis. But we didn't have our money. But here we were faced with a crisis that we couldn't solve. And so we prayed and sought God for help. And we prayed for a long time. Finally, the said, yes, we have paid something like $7,000 because every portion of it wasn't enough to cover the expenses. And then you got somebody who's work, and you know, I'm kind of a person who likes to do things good, because I know that you cannot cut for us to do it later on. And so we decided not to get into it.
I'm going to go to the next one. anywhere that is your life, your mind is going to be far, and then sometimes, whether it's a situation where your mind is not, and sometimes, where it is the day to be mindful that and the one we're to be mindful and thank before God in our lives is all sins. And before God, we are to be mindful before every Hebrew, we are to be mindful in front of our fellow man, and before strangers around them, and before nations around them. So, we need to be careful. According to Doug Batchelor, what is the best way to learn and remember scripture? That's a really good way. Teach it, that you can figure out how to understand the